Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, we come this morning giving you praise, honor, and glory. For truly, this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Beloved, we welcome you this morning to our Kingdom in Gathering Online Church. This is your host, Apostle Monetta Hare, and we are live in the great city of Detroit. We thank God for each of you who are listening in live or maybe even the replay of this broadcast. We encourage you, beloved, grab your Bible. Grab something to write with and write on and join with us as we welcome the Holy Spirit into this place. Right here live as we go forth with our series, Back to the Bible. We're looking at the victorious church. Over the last week, we have shared with you. You can go back 24/7 into our podcast and listen to last week's replay. And today, beloved, specifically, we want to talk about the body of Christ. The body of Christ. We are lifting up today the body of Christ as many gather around the world for prayer, for praise, for worship, for instruction, for communion, for fellowship as one body in Christ. So today, as we read our foundational scripture that is found in 1 Corinthians, Chapter 12, I will read for your hearing. Start at verse 12. Starting at verse 12. The Word of God for the people of God. This is the New King James Translation. For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body also in Christ. For by once we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink unto one spirit. For in fact, the body is not a one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, Indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which are those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having it given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members which have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen, amen. I have read for you 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through verse 27. Amen, amen, amen. The body of Christ, make us one, Lord. Make us one as you and the Father are one. Make us one, Lord, in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so, beloved, today, as we look at this passage of Scripture, as well as two others, that we will get a greater revelation and understanding about unity in the body, unity in the of Christ. Last week, I talked about the victorious church, the church that Jesus said, upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Go in and listen to last week's message about the victorious church. Amen. That we know we are victorious. We are more than conquerors. We are the church. We are the ecclesia, the ones. Amen. The called out ones. So when you go in, the church of Jesus Christ is built upon the rock of our salvation. I'm not talking about your local assembly. That is a gathering of believers. I'm not talking about your denomination. We are talking about the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so you will be empowered and equipped and enlightened on last week's broadcast and message. So today we want to look a little bit deeper into the body of Christ. Amen. The body of Christ. As you read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are talking about believers. Believers. Christian believers are the body of Christ. Amen. So when we look at these particular passage of Scripture in this particular chapter, Apostle Paul, he compares the body of Christ to a human body. And each part has a specific function that is necessary to the body as a whole. The parts are different for a purpose, and in their differences, they must work together. And as Christian believers, we must avoid two common errors. Number one, being too proud of our abilities. Number two, thinking that we have nothing to give to the body of believers. But instead of comparing ourselves to one another, beloved, we must use our different gifts together to spread the good news of salvation. So when we look at what Paul is saying to us in verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body also in Christ. We are the body. We are the church. And so what does Paul call the people of God? What does he call us? If we look at verse 27, what did Paul call us? He said that we are the body of Christ and members individually. You, beloved, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a part of the body, members individually. And so we can give praise and glory and honor to God for the power of God, for the body of Christ, for the church of Jesus Christ. See, the church is composed of many, many types of people from a variety of backgrounds, with a multitude of gifts and abilities. And it's easy for those differences to divide people, as was the case in Corinth, the Corinth church. And let's just move here to 2016. The division, the schism in the body of Christ. So we are praying for a spirit of unity to abide in us, in our hearts, beloved. And we're going to look at John chapter 17, verse 20 through 22. But these differences, these different gifts, abilities, ethnic groups, races, classes, will cause division. But despite the difference, all believers have one thing in common, and that is, beloved, faith in Christ. That's our commonality, beloved. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, whether you live in the United States or China or Europe or South America or Africa or Australia, one of the continents or any of the islands, we are one in Christ Jesus. And that, beloved, is our one common thing, is faith in Jesus Christ. And so this essential truth, the church, finds unity. That's right, unity. Unity in our faith in Jesus Christ. See, all believers are baptized by one Holy Spirit into one body of believers, the church. The church of Jesus Christ. See, we don't lose our individual identities, but we have an overriding oneness in Christ. And so when a person becomes a Christian believer, the Holy Spirit takes up residence. The Holy Spirit dwells within, and he or she is born into God's family. And that's what the scripture said, to drink into one spirit, meaning, and it means it's the same Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit in Detroit, it's in your city. Same Holy Spirit that's in the United States, it's the same Holy Spirit in Africa. See, to drink into one spirit means it is the same Holy Spirit who completely fills our innermost beings. And as members of God's family, we have had different interests and gifts, but we have a common goal. We have a common goal, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith is anchored in Jesus Christ, and we thank God. And so as we look at how Paul uses this analogy of the body, what does Paul say about the importance of each part of the body of Christ? When we look at verse 14 through 20, what is Paul saying about the body? See, as he's speaking to us, you know, we have a head, We have eyes, nose, mouth, ears, hands, feet. So Paul, he emphasizes the importance of each church member. If a seemingly insignificant part is taken away, the whole body becomes less effective. That's right. When you think about your physical body, if you lose sight or your hearing or smelling or taste or touch, your feet, your hands, your eyes, your nose, thinking that your gift is more important than someone else's is spiritual pride. No gift is better than the next body believer. See, we should not look down on those who seem unimportant. You hear what I said? We should not look down on those who seem unimportant. We're looking on the outside, beloved. But God looks at the heart. And so we are jointly fitted together to benefit each other. Make us one, Lord. Make us one. As we continue to declare that we are one in Christ Jesus. See, we should not be jealous of others in the body of Christ. I'm talking about the body of Christ who have impressive gifts. But instead, beloved, we must use the gift we have been given and encourage others to use theirs as well. And if we don't, the body of believers will be less effective. Think about it. You may belong to ABC St. Paul Church, and I belong to St. John's XYZ Church. As a local body of believers, as I shared with you last week, we gather for the teaching of the apostles' doctrine. We gather for fellowship. We gather, amen, for prayer. We gather for instruction. We gather for communion. Many members, one body in Christ Jesus. So we have to stay mindful of that. That we need each other. There was the song several years ago, over 13, 14 years. And it was basically saying, I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Stand for me. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. I don't have all the words exact, but you understand what I'm saying. That we need each other to survive. We are all part of God's body. If I'm able to pull it up before we close out this morning's message, I'll play it. It'll be our closing song. But just think what Apostle Paul is saying to us as the body of Christ. What does Paul say to those who think they do not need the rest of the body? Look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. As I just said, we are all a part of God's body, no matter what part of the world we reside. And as the scripture said, what parts that seem to be weak? Look at verse 22. No. Much rather, those members of the body which seems to be weaker are necessary. They're necessary, beloved. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. To be mindful, beloved, not to think more highly of ourselves, no matter what title, no matter what position, no matter what gift, anointing, ability you may have, it is for the body to be profitable. Amen? So when we think about what Apostle Paul is saying, how do we treat each other? How should the parts of the body, the members, the believers, treat each other? Verse 26, 25 and 26 says, there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the membership have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Isn't that something, beloved? When we think about this is a call for a spirit of unity in the body of Christ like never before, because we know the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and I emphasize, he comes to discourage, he comes to distract, and he comes, beloved, to divide. He comes to divide the body of Christ. And so what is our response when a Christian believer is honored? It's honored. It's celebrated. How do you respond when a believer, a Christian believer, is suffering? See, we are called to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Look at Romans 12, 15. See, beloved, too often and unfortunately, we are jealous of those who rejoice and separate ourselves from those who weep. Did you hear what I said? See, believers are in the world together, and there's no such thing as private or individualistic Christianity. Let me say that to you again. There is no such thing as private or individualistic Christianity. See, we can't stop from enjoying only our own personal relationship with God. That's where we don't stop there, beloved. We cannot stop there. You know, when we enter into our personal prayer closets and we have our own personal worship time and our personal praise time and our personal thanksgiving and our personal time of celebration with the Lord, that's great. But it doesn't stop there, beloved. We cannot stop with enjoying only our own relationship with God. We need to get involved in the lives of others. We need to be involved in the lives of others. And so when we gather as one body, one Lord, one baptism, as we gather in our local assemblies, as we gather in our local churches, we come to honor and to celebrate and to rejoice and to suffer with one another. Think about that, beloved. As Paul closed out talking about if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it, and if one member is honored, and all the members rejoice with it. Now, beloved, he closes saying to us, did you hear what Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinth church? Now you are, beloved, you are the body of Christ and members individually. So when we come together, beloved, as individuals, we make up the body of Christ. Oh, what an important part for each of us to participate in. Powerful. It's a powerful message for you and for me. I want us to look at, and you can write them down. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. We're still talking about the victorious church, the body of Christ. Just flip over a couple of pages in your Bible or write it down, and then you can go back and study and read and meditate on what Paul is speaking to us in chapter 4, verse 4 and 6. And he says to us, I want to start at the first verse, though. And he says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Amen. Amen. See, beloved, we have to be mindful, as Paul mentioned, seven ones, O-N-E-S. He lists seven ones. He starts, he said, number, we are one body. Write that down. We are one Spirit. We have one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. Amen. Is that seven? Let's see. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Amen. I'll repeat them again. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. That's what Paul spoke to the Ephesians church. We one. Make us one, Lord. Make us one. Make them one, Lord, as we are one. We are one, Lord. Amen. That's what Paul is trying to emphasize to you and to me, that we are one in the body. Not many bodies, one body, one Lord, one faith, one hope, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So, beloved, as we continue to just study out what God is speaking to us through Apostle Paul, that as we study out this oneness in Christ Jesus, that we will take on the spirit of unity, spirit of unity, the spirit of unity, as Paul is speaking to us this day, as we see what's going on all around the world today, beloved, across the Central as well as Caribbean and the southeast part of the United States, for the last 4 days, we have battled Hurricane Matthew. And we saw massive destruction and massive loss of life, that we would be united, that our unity is experienced as we help those that need help, that we are one body, we are one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Too often, believers are separated because of minor differences in doctrine. But Paul here shows those areas where Christians must agree to attain true unity. And when believers have this spirit of unity, petty differences should never be allowed to dissolve that unity. Unity in the body. Unity in the body. The fellowship of believers, the church, the Holy Spirit who activates the fellowship. One Spirit, one hope that glorious future to which we are all called. One Lord, Christ, to whom we all belong. One faith, our singular commitment to Christ. One baptism, the sign of entrance into the church. And one God, who is our Father, who keeps us for eternity. Beloved, Let us just continue to stand that unity is one of the Holy Spirit's important roles. He leads, but we have to be willing to be led. We do that by focusing on God and not on ourselves. You just think about that. All believers in Christ belong to one body. All are united under one head, who is Christ himself, beloved. Every believer has God-given abilities that can strengthen the whole body. Your special ability may seem small or large, but it is yours to use in God's service. Ask God to use your unique gifts to contribute to the strength and the health of the body of believers. See, God is above all, and this shows his overruling care. He is through and in all, and this shows his active presence in the world and in our lives of believers. And any other view, beloved, any other view of God that violates either his transcendence or his intimacy or his presence is not a true picture of God. We are one, one body, many members. And so as we close out, I want us to look at the prayer in John 17, verse 20 and 21. And we see here what Jesus asked for in prayer regarding the unity of his disciples, the unity of his disciples. We are standing, beloved, in a precious time in the body of Christ that we would cry out, Lord, make us one, as you and the Father are one, as we decree and declare that we are one. Here it is, chapter 17, the book of John, chapter 17, verse 20, the word of the Lord for your hearing. And Jesus is speaking, and this is Jesus' prayer. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Beloved, this is Jesus' prayer to Abba Father, to the Heavenly Father, to his Heavenly Father. And we see again the word one. We see in verse 21, he says, all may be one. So that's, we see it five times. May be one in us, verse 21. We see that twice there. Then in verse 22, he said that they may be one as we are one. There it is, twice there, beloved. As we are counting out what Jesus said, making us one in Christ Jesus. Count up the times throughout the entire scripture here found in 17, verse 20 through 26, to know that Jesus had a concern about the body of Christ being divided. And so we hear this recorded prayer. We see and read this recorded prayer that Jesus is asking the Father to make us one as he is one with the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That Jesus had a great concern about unity in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ. So, beloved, we have to stand on the word of God today, that the spirit of unity would abide in you and me. The word of God, the Bible, does even tell us for that person who stirs up dissension. Let's look over in the New Testament in Proverbs, the book of wisdom, and in chapter 16. I want to read that for you as well. What does it say? What does the Bible call someone who stirs up strife and dissension and division? And in chapter 16, verse 28, it says, a perverted man sows strife, and a whisperer, in other words, a gossiper, separate the best of friends. A perverted man sows strife, discord, division, distinction, and a gossiper, a whisperer, separate the best of friends. That's what the Bible calls that individual. And then, as we look in Proverbs chapter 6, it lists seven things that are abomination to the Lord. And what is the seventh one? Let's look over at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. You can go back and read it. See, this is the body. There will be no schism in the body. And so chapter 6, Proverbs, verse 16 through 19, I'll read it for your hearing. It says, there are six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. There it is, beloved. One who sows seeds of discord, one who sows seeds of division and strife among the brethren, among the body of Jesus Christ, among the body of believers. And so as we study out this word, even the more, beloved, that as we understand the oneness that God has called us through Christ Jesus, the body of Christ, that we pray just as Jesus prayed, Lord, make us one as you are one. Lord, give me the spirit of unity, that it will rule and abide in my heart, in my spirit. Oh, beloved, as we take great meditation and consideration of this word today, that it does not fall on hard ground or stony ground, but, beloved, as you receive it in your heart, in your spirit, that you would cry out unto the Lord for a spirit of unity to abide within you in Christ Jesus. As we cry out as a body of believers this day and this time, that the Lord would make us one, and that we can confess with our mouths and decree with our mouths that we are one in Christ Jesus. One Lord, one hope, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I see we have Minister Lovey with us this morning. Good morning, Minister Lovey. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, good morning. Great teaching. Thank you for those profound words, being one in Christ.
Hallelujah. Yeah, what resonated, what stuck out for you this morning? Our listening audience that's available to hear still, and we got our prayer line still open. But what resonated in your spirit, Minister Lovey?
One of the things that you said is that we need each other, because we were made to help each other and to lift up each other. And that just really stuck out in my mind, how I need you and you need me, because we are one part of God's body. It takes all of us coming together, pooling our gifts and our resources together in order to carry out God's plan and his purpose that he has called for us to do in the earth. So to make us one in him.
Amen. Especially, you know, when we think about this, as Paul talked about as far as analogy, he used the natural body, our physical body. And so I don't think you would say to your eyes, hey, eyes, I don't need you, okay? Or ears, I don't need you. Or nose or mouth or hand or feet, any part of our body. We're not going to walk around and say, we don't need that part of our body. We need all of it for it to function efficiently and effectively. Well, that's the same in the body of believers. Because where your strengths are, Lovey, it may be my weakness. And so you bring your strength to the table or vice versa. And that is we honor each other. Amen. We rejoice with each other. We celebrate each other, but all at the same time, for those that may be suffering in the body, just like I said, that hurricane that has swept Central America, Cuba, Haiti, they're saying over 1,000-plus people that they're saying now, but that number could go even higher. And then we know the Bahamas and Jamaica and then parts of Florida and Georgia and North Carolina, they got high winds and floods and all of that. But there are many in the body that are suffering in other nations and even those nations that I just called out. So as the body of Christ, what's our responsibility? To respond. What's our responsibility to respond on a global level? What's our responsibility to respond on a national level? All the way down to our gathering or our household of faith, our local churches and assembly, all the way down to believers in our own family. God has laid it out as Apostle Paul was speaking to us through Corinthians. To the Corinthian church and as well as the Ephesian church. But as Jesus said, make them one as we are one. And so it's much for us to cry out for us to have the spirit of unity ruling, reigning, abiding, and dwelling within us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Anything else, Minister Levy, comes to mind?
Amen. That was impacting. Just make us one, Lord. And truly, if it's anything, today is for the Lord to make us one. We come together in the unity in the faith of who Christ is, not what we do, but according to who he is.
Yes, yes. Well, we thank God for all that have dialed in, that are listening in, live all around the world. Just remember, we are one in the body of Christ. We are one. The church is one. The church of Jesus Christ is one body. Many members, but one body. And I want you to know, I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. I need you to survive. And so as we go from this place, this day, remember those words. Remember those words that Jesus has cried out that we would be one. We would be one in the body as he and the Father are one, as the Father is in Jesus and Jesus is in us, as he is in us, that we are one body. So I close, may the peace of God, the love of God be upon you. That the spirit of unity will be upon you this day. In Jesus' name, go in peace.
I need you. You need me. You are.